Today on Real Radio.
David, when it comes to the 200 men that frankly pooped out, he had to go on into the battle 200 men less. So when he comes back to them, it says in verse 21 that he comes back to the 200 men who were so weary. What I want to learn is how David is going to handle this.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. We've already looked at chapter 29 and parts of chapter 30 where David had a crisis in faith when dealing with King Saul. Now we're delving deeper into chapter 30 where we see David growing spiritually and gaining a better understanding of how the Almighty orchestrates events in the lives of his people. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Making a Comeback.
And he goes on through this, listing the territories. Look down at the end of verse 14. We burned Ziklag with fire. Uh-oh, David's antenna's up. And David said to him, verse 15, can you take me down to this troop? You know where they're hiding out? So he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. And when he had brought him down, there they were, spread out all over the land. You got to see this bunch of wackos, you know. They're gloating over their victory. They're eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. This is really a perverse thing, because what this implies is they're eating like mad dogs, and they are grosser than gross, they're drunker than a skunk, and they've got the women of David's people, and they're trying to make them dance and make them party. Come on, what's the matter? How come you're not partying with us? Well, Dodo, you just conquered us, and you took us away from everything we know, and you burned the place that we're hanging out, and besides, you stink. You're big and ugly, and we miss our husbands. And our kids are scared. Oh, come on, just dance. Here, have a drink. You know, it's just a really stupid moment. One of those moments, you know, where you want to kind of rush in and rescue, because these women and the children are being picked on by just the grossness of these men. Well, look at our second point, making a comeback in the walk of faith, verses 17 to 20. And that is, when we obey him, we need to obey him in what God says and what he says. We need to obey him. And look at verse 17. Then David attacked them. See, what is that? Oh, he's obeying God. David attacked them. From the break of day until the evening of the next day, not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and the herds they had driven before those other flocks and said, now this is what they said, the men of David said, this is David's spoil. Well, let me ask you something. They may have thought of it that way. They may have looked at it that way. Can you think of one man, do you know his name, in the midst of all those that knew whose spoil it really was? His name's David. He knew that it was God's spoil, not his spoil. Oh, this is David's spoil. The men are grateful. They're rejoicing. Remember, a day earlier, they're going, let's kill this guy. Well, now David's led them into battle, and they're saying, all the booty, all the spoil of this is David's. Well, David knew who it was. It was the Lord's. It was God's. In 1 Samuel 15, way back, verse 22, Samuel had rebuked King Saul and said, has the Lord delight in burnt offerings or sacrifices as he does in obeying the voice of the Lord? In other words, God could care less about religion. Do you obey him? Behold, to obey, that is to do what God says, is better than sacrifice, and to heed, that is to listen, is better than the fat of rams. People, that's very important. That is incredibly important. Are you doing, am I doing what God wants me to do? That's the question. David got up and he did it. Verse 17, God will give you the plan. God will give you and I a plan. When it says that David attacked him from the break of day, he was very successful. Why was the wisdom of God? God told him to do this. And by doing so, by the way, this is a justice being rained down upon these attackers. I don't know how you handle that. You know, when the Bible says, God says to David, I want you to go in there and kill all these people. You might look at David, well, is he some kind of a terrorist? God is somehow mean or evil. No, he's not at all. The Bible's very clear. You will reap what you sow. We want to skew the lines and we want to, you know, dilly-dally with life and with things. For the life of me, I don't understand how somebody can kill someone. I mean, kill them. An unarmed man in a park. And it was a gang initiation, attacks an old man, slices him up and leaves him for dead to bleed to death. And people just a hint. Well, you know what? This is the only culture this guy knew. He grew up in a gang. He didn't know anything else. And he was just trying to earn the favor of his fellow gang members. And you can't blame him. Now, what, you see where this goes? You say, well, you know, when you put it that way, maybe you can't blame him. Sin demands payment. Who's going to pay? Restitution must be made. Who's going to make restitution? Are you saying an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? That's exactly what the scripture says when it comes to justice. You say, well, I don't buy it. Well, you need to study history and sociology and find out how men and how societies are controlled, because it's in the heart of the human being to be rebellious. And God levies an attack. God has a plan. Look at verses 18 to 19. God will give the victory that is in restoration. So David recovered all. Look at the end of verse 19. David recovered all. He rescued his wives and everything that these men had lost. Look at verse 20. God will give you the reward. This is amazing to me. Then David took all the flocks and the herds, and the men said, this is David's spoil. When you decide, when you and I decide to make our way back to God, God will move. And I know that many times in our mind we're thinking, I can never get back with God like I once was. Look what's happening in David's life. God is establishing him once again. Verses 21 to 26, third point tonight. Making a comeback in the walk of faith, that is, walk in his likeness, in the likeness of God, no doubt. We learn a lot from David. And I love these closing verses. Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David. What would you have said to them? What would you have announced to them? Well, they could not follow David, whom they had also made stay at the brook Besor. I want you to jot this down. Verse 21 teaches us, if we're going to walk in the likeness of God, we learn a great thing here from David. We need to walk in God's mercy. We need to walk in the mercy of God. Because who in the world are we to levy judgment on someone in and of ourselves? God is judge. God is supreme over all. He's the ruler of the universe. Now watch this. David, when he comes to the 200 men that frankly pooped out, he had to go on into the battle 200 men less. So when he comes back to them, it says to verse 21 that he comes back to the 200 men who were so weary. What I want to learn is how David is going to handle this. It says that they could not follow. I just simply need to say this. Whenever God does a work, he will never prostitute his church or his children to get a job done. God is more interested in the missionary than he is the mission. God can accomplish the mission. He can send an angel from heaven or a donkey from the zoo and get the mission done. but he uses people. But God will never abuse people. Whenever God is involved in a ministry, they won't abuse people. I got a letter 2 weeks ago from a woman who came from a certain background of denomination, who moved out this way, stumbled into this church a few weeks ago, and you guys began to love on her. You didn't know who she was. She didn't know who you were. You began to love on her. And she writes me this letter, and she says, "Now I know that for many, many years, I was involved in a cult. It was a self-proclaimed cult. They took all of her money. They made her sell things and give them money. God told me to tell you." That's what the whole thing was. "God told me to tell you to sell your car and give the money to me." That's what God said. You say, "Well, how can a person think like that?" My opinion, those are demonic powers that are surrounding people to lead them astray. And thank God she got out. David walks in mercy. I love that. Well, let's see what mercy gives way to. Verse 21, he walks in grace. "So they went out to meet David." These are the 200 guys. "So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with them. And when David came near to the people, he," what does it say? "He greeted them." He doesn't say, "You know what, you bunch of losers, get away from me. We had to go fight this battle on our own." He didn't say that to them. Mercy and grace. Mercy, he goes to them. Grace, he greets them. This all happens post-renewal. Post-David's back on track again. We could say that's how we are as we follow Christ post-resurrection in our lives. What did Jesus say when he rose again from the dead? "Go tell my disciples that I go before them. I go ahead of them to Galilee." Isn't that great? And everywhere Jesus went, he met them. Go tell them to meet me there. And they go, and then he shows up. They're in the upper room. He shows up. Don't you love it? And he freaks them out too, because he just shows up. Whoosh, he's there. "Hey." And they all, and he says, "Don't be afraid, it's me." Why? They were afraid. They had thought they had seen a ghost. Thomas goes, a ghost. And he says, "Thomas, handle me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bone as you see me have." And they're all like, "Oh my goodness, this is so cool." And Thomas falls on his face and says, "My Lord and my God." And he goes into worship. Jesus vanishes without opening a door. Oh, that's cool. Resurrected, grace, everywhere Jesus shows up, mercy and grace post-resurrection. Of course, for him, he was always merciful and gracious. But what about resurrection in our life now that we're a Christian? What are we to do? We're to walk in his likeness, exercise mercy. Is it easy to not exercise mercy? Of course it is. Mercy. Mercy is not giving somebody a spanking when they deserve it. Or mercy is, if you're going to levy something on them, you don't do it. They completely qualify to be spanked, and you don't spank them. That's mercy. Grace. See, mercy, you don't discipline them. You may talk to them about it. "You know, you should have been disciplined for this, or this is a terrible thing. Do you understand that?" "Yes, I understand that." You know, you think about people who can exercise this power perhaps most often in any given day is a parent, for one thing, and a police officer. Think about it. I mean, if you're a police officer, and I know there's a lot of police officers, just a while back I saw somebody get pulled over, and it wasn't some big, huge offense. I could figure out why he was getting pulled over. But I thought, you know what? He just got pulled over. I think I just did that like 3 miles back. I think I crossed over too soon in an intersection. You're not supposed to do that, you know? So then I began to think for a moment. I was on my way to Home Depot, and I'm driving there, and I figured that in about a mile, I think I probably made 3 mistakes. When's the last time you turned your signal indicator on 100 yards before, or 100 feet, 100 feet before you make a turn? Huh? I change lanes, then put it on to let the guy know that I'm here. In California, you know, you turn your blinker on, and that means to the guy, speed up, cut him off! Did you know that? That's what it means in California. You don't put your blinker on. I don't even see cops use their blinkers anymore. They'll never get over. Anyway, that's my justification of it. But honestly, I'm sure if a police officer would just sit there, he could pick out three things in a mile that we do wrong. He could write us up for everything. But there's mercy. That'd be something if, you know, you really blew it, the cop pulls you over, says, look at you. I could cut you off the jail right now. I could take out this pin and ruin your life. See this badge? State of California's behind it. Huh. The once greatest economy in the nation. Oh, Lord, help this state. And he says, but you know what? Look at it. It's noon. I'm taking you to lunch. And I'm going to pay. That's grace. Getting what you don't deserve. David's like that. He greets them. Hi, you guys. How you doing? Tremendous. Verse 24, he walks in generosity. I love this. He walks in generosity. That's how you and I are to be. It says, verse 24, but as his part is who goes down to battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. What does that mean? Well, just preceding these verses, the guys that went to battle, you know, the 400 guys, a bunch of them said, these lowlifes, don't give them anything, David. Give them their wives and their kids. I mean, that's okay. But don't give them anything of the spoils of our great victory. David says, now calm down. We can't do that. Listen to the integrity of this guy. King David says, you know what we're going to do? The guys who went to war are just as important as the guys. And I think, who's got the old King James? Does it say anything about keeping the beans? It's guarding the stuff. The guys who went to war and the guys who guarded the stuff that were too tired to go with us, thinking we all get the same. We get the same cut. Don't you think that's cool? I think that's great. The guy that's sitting in a, you know, the guy that's sitting on some mountaintop in the U.S. Air Force guiding something, you know, and it's flying over Iraq, and the guy, there's a guy in the plane getting shot at, and there's a guy sitting on a mountaintop, you know, in Germany going, yeah, you're looking good, you're looking good. They're all in it together. They share in the victory. I think that's pretty cool. David says, no, 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 no. You know what? We're going to walk like God. We're going to walk like Jesus. We're going to be generous, merciful, gracious. That's a sweet thing. I'll paraphrase it. You can look it up later. Put it down right next to verse 24 in your Bible or in your margin. Write down Matthew 20, verses 1 through 15. You already had it enter your head. You already know where I'm going. Matthew 20, verses 1 to 15 is the great, great parable that Jesus told about the man who owned a vast kingdom. And he says, I tell you what, here's the story. A guy, the owner of the fields had a lot of work to do, so he hired these guys at 10 bucks for the entire day. And he said, will you work for me for 10 bucks a day? And they said, we sure will. And he said, okay, great, go to work. Great. So then half the day goes by and the master realizes, wow, we're not getting enough done. I need to go get some more guys. Now remember, there's only a half day remaining. Hey, will you guys will agree to work in my field for 10 bucks? 10 bucks? Sure. They come to work. Then he realizes, we've only got 1 hour left. The sun's going to set. We're still not done. He goes and he hires a guy and he says, will you work this final hour to get my crop harvested for 10 bucks? The guy says, 10 bucks? That's great. You bet. Jesus says, then why would you call me evil? Why would you call me mean when each of you agreed to work for me for a certain price? For you, you agreed to work for me all day long for 10 bucks. You were happy with that. For you, half day, you were happy with that. You, 1 hour. Now all you guys are upset and arguing about one another. Well, you know what, that's not fair. We're going to form a union. Jesus says, why would you call me mean and difficult for my generosity? Didn't you agree? Yes. It's the master's business what he does. God is generous. See, what do you mean by that? I'll conclude with this, because the rest of the closing chapter is just a list of a bunch of people who got blessed because of David and his walk being renewed with God. That's what, how it ends. That's a cool ending. All these people are listed because David followed God. Well, here's the bottom line. There are people who serve God all their life through difficult times. I think of Hudson Taylor, who went to China. You know, 3 years before he went to China, the guy was eating food in England, conditioning his body for the horrible diet he's going to have in China. I don't know about you. I'm thinking I'm eating pizza and fish and chips before I go to China, because we're not going to get it there. No, he began to condition his body into the diet that he was going to have in China. He goes there for 30 years and nothing happens. Leads one guy to Christ, converts one guy to Christ. Hudson Taylor dies, and that guy winds up leading a bazillion people to Christ. That's not fair. Didn't Hudson Taylor agree to serve God? Yes. Didn't this guy who leads all these people to Christ agree to serve God? Yeah. It's amazing. Well, I've been walking with God all these years. And you know what? He is going to bless you. Yeah, well, you know, my friend just gave his heart to the Lord, and he just wound up winning the lotto. I led him to the Lord. I think I should get half. Weren't you content to follow God? Don't look at someone else. Follow the Lord. And so the chapter concludes with these lists of names that none of us can pronounce except for a few of them. You say, well, who are they? All I can tell you is that they are people who got super blessed because David came back and renewed his faith in God. All because in a moment of absolute impossibilities, he had no one to consult in but God only. And great blessings came. Church, we'll learn a great lesson tonight if we stop consulting people and consult God and get the wisdom of God from above, not the wisdom of men from beneath. He gave us our ephod, the Bible, and we do well and we'll never err as long as we set it as a lamp and as a light to our feet and to our path. He'll never allow our ankle to be twisted.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Making a Comeback, a presentation taken from 1 Samuel chapter 30. It's part of Pastor Jack's look at this Old Testament narrative, which gives valuable insight into the life of David. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we'll be coming to the end of this fascinating series by the end of this week, and I got to tell you, it's been riveting, you got to admit. Now, if you've just recently gotten on board with us, and you'd like to hear it from the very beginning, here's some good news for you. Real Radio will send you this series from the beginning, all on one MP3 CD, for your gift of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach called Real Radio. I'll say that again. Pastor Jack's entire series through the book of 1 Samuel, all on one MP3 CD. It's yours for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, you really should take advantage of this. Just ask for 1 Samuel on MP3 CD. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or if you'd like, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, it's easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.